Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Redmen TV, and it's the build-up show. It's going to be Newcastle versus Liverpool Wednesday, 8 p.m. kickoff. I'm Paul Machin. That man right there is Chris Page. That man right there is Ross Chanley. And gents, no time to dwell, no time to sit in a corner and cry about being firmly Allardyced. Steve Bruce's Newcastle, Chris, and at the risk of setting
us
up for a massive
fall,
we should absolutely be. No, if you had to cherry pick, there's a handful of sides that I kind of wouldn't mind playing right about now, and Newcastle are in that clutch where they're not an uber defensive team, they're not a super attacking team, they're having a little bit of a crisis of confidence in what they're doing at the moment. They're quite porous at the back, and they don't score a lot of goals. Basically, that yeah.
Like everything you'd say about West Brom, apart from they don't have Allardyce.
Look,
a few weeks ago they were playing all right. They were getting some good results, Newcastle. So, you know, but the last couple of weeks, obviously, they get knocked out by Brentford last week in the Cup, don't they? And they just haven't looked the same sides. And I don't know what that's because of. Maybe it's just because of the games coming thick and fast.
Well, it's interesting that Bruce has been one of the few who came out of the non top six, in inverted commas, managers and talked about the muscle injuries and the, you know, the cumulative fatigue of the amount of footy that we're playing. So
he's just trying to make himself sound clever. I don't think he understands sports science, Steve. but I think he knows other people talk about it, so he's just sort of copying them a little bit.
There's a great story about how Joe Royal, for younger viewers, the former Everton manager who discovered the trend.
He was the last
managers.
One to win a trophy, I think, for Everton. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of people won't know him. It was a long time ago.
There was a trend of managers around that time, like having notepads and making notes during matches, so he realised it was something that people were onto, so he would have a notebook and just write shite
in
it.
Why did he say he had it?
Just to make himself look like he knew what he was doing. Like with all these foreign managers who were invading the league at the time.
Brought some glasses and put his glasses on the end of his nose and a notepad during having definitely. A game of fucking whatever.
No, it is. I think the good thing about this, and whether it's specifically Newcastle or not, I don't think is as important as what they've been through recently. As Chris says there, they've had some struggles with injuries and what have you as well. It's obviously something the manager's highlighted, but Chris mentioned the League Cup game there. This is a team that's had an extra, and not just had the busy festive period, but have thrown another game of football and another game where actually they've come off the back of some heartbreak over it as well, which could be used to kick them on, of course, but I think at this time of the season, it is the extra minutes in the legs should actually benefit Liverpool for this one.
Yeah, I think Newcastle rotated slightly in that game, but I think it's a game that they expected to win. But it's something that we've spoken about for a few weeks, of Liverpool having that weak gap. Now, it's not happened against West Brom, where Liverpool have gone all out and, you know, we thought we'd reap the benefits there. I think it's probably this game match and probably New Year's Eve, where those other teams that have played the League Cup games or played, you know, spare games, they'll start to pick up injuries and fatigue, where Liverpool will have paid off. That week break will come and hamper Liverpool. Newcastle might be one of them. A knocking confidence won't help them. Liverpool, I don't know anymore. I thought this after having a week off that Liverpool will be, you know, fresh and bounce back and whatever else. But, you know, that draw against West Brom should be a kick up the arse for Liverpool and impetus. You know, I've been very fortunate that the teams around us have all dropped points. This is, again, another opportunity for Liverpool to not put it right, because, you know, we still gained a point if you're going to look at it on a positive spin, but to sustain that gap and, you know, the lead at the top of the table, Liverpool should go out for this game.
Liverpool have had training, you know, before the West Brom game, and Liverpool, think about the times when we go for those mid-season warm weather training camp stuff. We never look great that first game back, because training's hard. What Klopp wants is he wants them to train hard so that they're able to go for multiple weeks. So the week off isn't necessarily about the first game back and that's the be-all and end-all. The week off, or the week without fixtures, is about making sure that they're right for the next eight games. Yeah. And that's what we'll hopefully see when Liverpool play Newcastle, is that little bit of something back in the legs where they've worked those muscles a little bit harder and able to go a bit longer into the game, maybe, you know, don't tire so much second half and stuff like that. So I fully expect Liverpool get back on the horse this week and go and put Newcastle to the sword, because it's what Liverpool have always kind of done.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And as you say, the benefits of... It's hard to talk about the benefits of having that break or gap. It wasn't a break. As
no,
you say,
fixtures.
You have a week of not having a game of football, because we then don't go and batter West Brom. So it feels a bit like, oh, well, I expected
you've wasted
us
your week. But
yeah,
it's not true.
Well, exactly. And you know, and that's the thing about it, is that we said this about West Brom. The players that we had back and available and on the bench, all of a sudden we could put a proper bench out that we haven't been able to do for a while. And even worse, when we had the nine subs came in and we had two goalkeepers on there, you know, we didn't have that as a situation.
Fully pointless.
Yeah, you know, yeah, this is we've got more players available, but we need to get them up to speed, and the extra training will I just don't think it's going to be a super tangibly noticeable thing. But this game for me is going to be a bit more like Crystal Palace. Not that we're going to go and put seven past them by any stretch, but it was another example of a game where, because like West Brom had a gap but going into the game as well, you know, and Allardyce had a week to focus on a couple of ways in which they could win the game. Practice your corners and hope for the best. Newcastle will have had no training time for this, the same as us. So it's just going to be two tired teams turning round quickly from their last game, going head to head, and in that environment, when the pressure's on and all that kind of stuff, Liverpool should just have more going for them, because we have got a deeper squad and we have got a more talented squad.
We should. And also that week with no fixtures, no fan is supposed to turn around and go, that's the reason we did so well, four games after the fact. Only Jürgen and the coaches will know what the training is doing for these lads week in and week out. So we're supposed to forget about it. We're supposed to just think they're having a week off and it's all great, they had a great Christmas and all that, and carry on. But I tell you what, if we didn't have that 7 days without a break, you might see the next three, four games become much harder for Liverpool, because the coaches understand how valuable coaching is to footballers.
We'll see, I think, when we see Ross. You know, and we never know whether Shaqiri's like. You know, he was fit and available the last time we checked. You know, Oxlade-Chamberlain back. There's a chance of Thiago. We'll talk about him in part two a little bit more. But you know, the fact that they've been training with the team, that's a thing that, again, it's an intangible, it's a small benefit. We've obviously not reaped the rewards of it against West Brom, which I think some of it being circumstantial. I think there's a difference. You know, if Oxlade-Chamberlain is able to come on 2 minutes before we concede the goal, we might be talking about a different performance from Oxlade-Chamberlain, him coming into a low pressure environment compared to a desperately searching for the win kind of environment. So what you hope to see from this game is, again, just one or two more lads who are just ready, more ready for this game than they maybe were for the weekend or had been weeks before.
I think Chamberlain was one of them. He was surprised that he didn't come on against Crystal Palace, because we were, what, 3-4-5-0 up, and you're thinking
he did, against Crystal Palace for the end.
But not for the sustained period, and you're thinking that's a good opportunity for him, even at half-time, just to get minutes under his belt. And you could see it against West Brom, there's one or two really heavy touches, which you let him off for because it's match fitness.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a completely different thing to training and those pressures. And I think you're right, you know, the fact that, you know, he comes on and you're expecting him to change the game, not for him to get his match fitness, is two completely different things.
Yeah.
So this is different in that sense. It also might be skewed the fact that, you know, we might have to shuffle things around in defence. I know you mentioned it on the final word of Jordan Henderson might have to go in. We're going to have to play Chamberlain, and he's going to have to step up in this game if he has to play midfield, because there's no Naby Keita. Thiago, which I know you'll come on to.
Well, all of a sudden, the James Milner's, you know, is back in contention for, yeah, you know, for a slot. And again, Oxlade-Chamberlain, who was, look, disappointing by the standards of, if you were looking for a game changer off the bench, he wasn't able to be that. And unfortunately, he's the one who has the fatal last touch of the game from the corner, the short corner and whatever.
Yeah, I think it's really sad. No, and that's not you saying it, anybody saying it.
Yeah.
That's not right.
But what
Salah was disappointing, because he didn't fucking score. He was on for 90 fucking minutes and he's playing every week and he's scored 16 so far this season. Yeah. That's disappointing to me.
Yeah.
Not a lad who's just not played any minutes and actually whipped the ball of the game in for Bobby Firmino with the keeper. Makes an incredible save.
Yeah.
If you're on Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's back after that, fuck off.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, but this is the good thing about this game. We've seen this, you know, it's seeding performances, because we've got the main lads. And the main lad, the ones who've played the most football for us over the last last 3 years are the lads that will always be asked to play the most football for us until someone else proves themselves capable of doing it. And this might be a game where Oxlade-Chamberlain actually, yes, you know, again, he didn't set the world alight off the bench against West Brom, and, you know, I can barely tell you what he did against Crystal Palace, but he's been building to...
Got an assist against Palace, didn't he?
Well, you know, yes, he did. Yeah. He passed the ball to Armitage, yeah. But the point I'm driving at here, Ross, is that he might well be ready for a start in this game. And if we see a good Oxlade-Chamberlain performance in this, it's because of the little bits that we've seeded up until this point.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. You've got to build up to these things. You can't just, you know, particularly with someone with his record, whether it's unlucky or, you know, it's niggling injuries, it's going, sound right, we need you, we'll chuck you in. That's the reason why Liverpool are so good at being reserved with these players, and why I, as a fan, would go on against Crystal Palace. Liverpool know he's not ready, you know, to just keep him back for another week, because if you shut them on against Crystal Palace, it's good me saying that, but is that going to dent him further than saying, well, you can't play West Brom now because you played that game or whatever? You know, they'll look at those games, this next game, Southampton and Aston Villa, and plan for those people that didn't play those games. But they're also skewed by the fact of, you know, Keita might have played that game, but he can't because he's injured. And then you're shifting your reliance onto Chamberlain because he might be more available over that period.
They're not all like me, you know what I mean? Like, I play five-a-side. Whether I'm playing once a week for 10 weeks or whether I come back off a nine-month break, I'm shit. There's no real improvement there. I just play the same regardless, you know what I mean? So it's very difficult for me to say, look at this lad improving, match fitness, look at him.
True, but even in our shit level of experience, if you haven't played for 4 months, 5 months, a year, you hurt beyond recognition for your first game back, and then you hurt slightly less the week after. And by week three, you tend to be okay.
No, I don't.
Well, you're not a professional footballer, though, Chris.
True. But yeah, so we've got some interesting conversations to be had around the selection coming up here. We're going to take a very short break, but when we return, yeah, we'll talk about Liverpool's options at centre half in the absence of John Matip, and whether we actually will see the lesser spotted Thiago Alcantara.
Fight like crazy, go for each ball, run more, fight more, jump higher. That's what we have to do.
From Basel to Madrid, back to Anfield and everywhere in between, it's hard to believe it's now over 5 years since the mad, brilliant Jurgen Klopp took over as manager of Liverpool Football Club and single-handedly turned us all from doubters to believers. We've laughed, we've cried, we've had incredible let-offs and disastrous heartbreaks. It's safe to say it's been one hell of a ride, but at the end of a long year for everyone, let's not forget that 2020 brought with it a whole new chapter of unforgettable Klopp moments. And here at the Red Men TV, we thought this Christmas would be a good time to sit down, look back and reminisce at just all of the brilliant Jurgen moments that we've seen unfold since the day that changed everything in October 2015. So sit back, have a glass of mulled wine and a mince pie, and join us as we look back at the 50 biggest moments of the Jurgen Klopp era, as voted by you, the Red Men TV fans.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, do get involved with that wonderful Jurgen Klopp series, a two-part mini-series. There's a whole host of absolutely amazing stuff on the website at the moment, all streaming right now on demand. So yeah, if you want to get some greater insight into like the past of Liverpool legends and also gain a greater knowledge of Liverpool culture, then check out our whole series of documentaries on there right now. I meant to ask a trivia question, and I'll ask it now. Can you know when the last time Steve Bruce beat a Liverpool team?
Was he a manager?
He was a manager.
Okay, so he's managed everyone.
Yeah.
And a lot of them probably aren't in the league anymore.
It's definitely a team that aren't in the Premier League anymore.
Wow. Birmingham.
Sunderland.
Nope.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, I know. Team that playing stripes.
That's half the teams in the country.
West Brom!
It's Hull City, well done. Hull City, 2015, oh, yeah. They beat us 1-0. And for bonus points, if anyone, and this is more people playing along at home, if you can name our starting front three from that game.
Ricky Lambert.
Ricky Lambert was on the bench.
Balotelli, Aspas.
Balotelli started up front, flanked either side.
Did you say Aspas?
Aspas.
No.
Sterling.
Sterling.
Who's the guy that's at Lazio?
Jordan Ibe.
Yeah, wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Month of Sunday.
Our substitute bench for that game, by the way. Brad Jones, Cole Otore, Javi Manquillo, Adam Lallana, Cam Branigan, Lazar Markovic and Ricky Lambert.
And this that's why Steve Bruce beat us.
Sorry, this was 5 years ago. Now, I know if you're 18, 5 years feels like a long fucking time, but when you're like... anything over
we've
the age
been doing
of 26
for 5 years at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was Robbo and Maguire there?
Their team, Steve Harper, James Chester, Michael Dawson, they weren't in the team if they were in that. No, unfortunately not, but that would have been funny. Michael Dawson was though. And Jake Livermore, we missed out the other day. Anyway, the game, the centre half situation, Chris, Joe Matip. We now have no fit senior centre-halves at the football club.
Yeah, and obviously at time of film, we don't know how bad the injury is, just it's probably quite a bad one. Abductor injury, Klopp said afterwards, isn't it? It's the hip, isn't it? We looked into it, Ross, you looked into it and said out loud. If he's not available, which I'm banking on him not being available for, you've got three options. You've got Reece Williams, you've got Nat Phillips, and you've got Jordan Henderson. For me, and if Thiago's fit, I play Hendo because I'm just throwing Thiago in and going, go on, son, go and win this league for us. but I think what's probably going to happen is Hendo and Wijnaldum and Kurt are probably going to start in midfield, and I think he's going to play Reece Williams at the back.
And
I'm okay with that.
We're in some regards, and again, this has been the story of the season so far. Me and Chris have been making this constant joke about like the injury rate dropping below one. You know, we're at a point now where...
We didn't say it was a funny joke.
No, you didn't have to laugh, but it was nice that you did.
He said, oh God, like it was a terrible joke.
We've now got midfield options. So this is the one issue that we've had. We talk about the short blanket syndrome. It's been like the topic of the season so far. That at least we've gone through a spell where we've been thin at the back, but then thin in midfield. Whereas we've got bodies back in midfield now, which might allow the Jordan Henderson thing. I don't think I'd like to see that particularly, but it's definitely an option, because if Milner's available, you could easily go with a Genie Milner, Kurt Jones midfield, or Genie Milner, Oxlade-Chamberlain, and you've actually rotated quite a lot and still put a strong side on.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? First of all, the injury joke's funny than is James Pearce playing at centre back, because that'll happen this week. That's getting very fucking old. It's difficult because you want to play Reece Williams, but will Newcastle do what West Brom have done and go, well, actually, there's a weakness in the back line? I'm also quite surprised in the West Brom game in Jordan Henderson's performance. Now, I don't think he was terrible, but when we're talking about the impetus and the drive and the dictating a play, that normally comes from Jordan Henderson, and we never had that. Mm-hmm. I want that against Newcastle, therefore I'll put Jordan Henderson in the field. And for everything I've just said about Oxlade-Chamberlain, I don't think Liverpool will do that with Thiago and go, well, you've not played any footy, you've not even been on the fucking bench, so why'd you chuck him in and you know, hamper his injuries a little bit more? I know he's different to Chamberlain in the sense of he hasn't got that, you know, history of niggling injuries, but I think Liverpool will be reserved and go, actually, you can play 15, 20 minutes. I don't want that. I'd fucking chuck him in and go, you play it, because Newcastle will sit back and go, there's a player who can pick a pass and do whatever else, but I don't think...
It's a great point Ross makes there, and I think naturally you're almost, when you're in the middle of an injury crisis, you want to get lads back quickly, but actually that's the worst thing that you can possibly do, because for getting them just up to speed slowly and not pushing them too hard and not just risking it, you're actually... probably looking at the end of the season, we're going to be all right, because you rush people back, they pick up a second injury, and then all of a sudden it's a third injury. You've just got to take your time and wait it out and bring them back at the right time. So I think Ross is right. You do have to just slowly bring them back into the side.
They still do that thing where they play, like, when they come back from injuries, like, they used to put them in the reserves or the unders and go, I'll play a couple of games there.
I don't think there's time at the moment. You know, I don't know how many games the unders are playing, and you know, there's still bits and pieces, aren't there? I think we've seen a few lads withdrawn from those teams to be involved. It's been the other way.
Lads
have been taken out to come and train and actually be on the bench in it, but I don't think we're seeing too much of it in the other regard, because you can't afford it, because it's too uncontrolled, I think, in some regards. Because you're right, like Oxlade-Chamberlain, maybe. I remember him certainly when he came back last time, having a little run out in those. But it's the thing about Thiago for me, all I'm looking from him for this, I just want to see him on the bench. Because I think that will be, you're right, to chuck him straight in, having not played since the derby, you want to ease him up, because I think it's a bit like the season conditions. You use not quite a perfect Formula One analogy because I've not been up on it for years, but there are cars that the drivers just get told, you don't want to be flooring it. You're managing your engine or whatever. You're managing what you can do. You could put your foot to the floor and blow your engine. Liverpool are trying to find that balance where you've got enough. You've got your foot down hard enough that you're not burning ahead of everyone. You're not senselessly running yourself down, but you're able to be competitive in what you're doing. And that's, you're right, that goes to your point about we want Thiago fit for the rest of the month. We want him fit for the rest of the season. But that is a very precarious sort of line we're treading at the moment.
Yeah, first of all, your analogy is spot on, because that's exactly what they do with the engines and stuff still in Formula One, now more than ever. And you're right, we can't be, we've just got to do enough that we're managing the gaps to the people behind us. And again, that's F1. That's what Hamilton does. He doesn't need to go 15 seconds in the lead. 5 will still win him the fucking race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's what this season is, I think. I think it'd be nice. And I think we would ideally like that. And we might find, look, if we've got this cohort of players available in a month's time and we're still there or thereabouts, we might actually be able to just push a little bit harder and go a little bit more into the red and try and put a lead up. But I'm not sure, you know, we're not past the halfway point of the season.
It's every single player on the pitch. They can't go non-stop for 95 minutes every single game, because you've got another game in 3 days' time because of the injuries that we've got. So you've got to be able to make sure that they manage their sprints, and it's fucking boring, and it's everything that you don't like. It's what people hate about baseball and American sports. That's what we're seeing played out this season, unfortunately. But the sports scientists are earning their money, and Liverpool have got some of the best sports scientists going, and we've still got some of the most injuries that we've had because we've had a bit of bad luck and everything this season. We've just got to make sure that everyone else stays behind us and we don't push our players into the red.
Yeah, I know I said this last week, but I think people compare it to last season, the point you just made there of, you know, what do you compare it to? Well, we played more games at this point, the league was bigger, and the league was more or less done at this point last year. You said we're not even halfway through, so you know you're trying to compare it to last year where things were just so different, and that's why it's frustrating. And you think of the points that we've dropped, it's going to happen. But you take your eyes off Liverpool and look around the league. This weekend's the perfect example. It's frustrating because we haven't capitalised on that. But as long as other people are still dropping points, that's not what you should go out to do.
The fear is normally because we've come out of 2 years where Man City have been perfect, and we've needed to be perfect, and vice versa, by the way. You could say that from, like, Liverpool have been perfect and City have needed to be perfect. Nobody's got that this season, but we do have that lingering fear that someone else will put a run together, and if we're dropping points and missing out on opportunities to extend, then that could come back to bite us. And I think that there's no disproving that logic until it either happens or doesn't happen, really.
That's
when we didn't win it, and we were drawing to Leicester and someone else, and we didn't win the league because we drew that game. That's that coming back, isn't it?
No, 100%. But again, at the moment, it's so mad, and again, you're seeing it, and there's so many big games. Well, I mean, some of the games that are coming up in this round of fixtures, Palace hosting Leicester. I mean, for as much as we go, we batter Palace, but you can't. Palace are always going to be a team that footballing sides struggle
to break
down.
They do look done now. Did you see them? Did you see them? Fucking Aldi, Villa 1-0 up. They got a man sent off. They went and won 3-0. Palace looked fucking done.
You would bank on Leicester getting that, but also not one of us would be shocked if Palace took some points off Leicester there. Chelsea, Villa, and it's a one on paper where you're like, oh well, Chelsea. But hang on, Chelsea.
Where are they in the table? Villa, the top half.
Well,
because Chelsea don't beat teams in the top half, remember?
Seventh.
Right, yeah. Villa win.
Villa have got two games in hand on us. They would be a point behind us if they won their two games in hand. You know what I mean? They would be second in the league if they had the two games. You know,
they've won it once already this year.
Yeah.
The league.
Yeah, definitely. Remember? Yeah. Yeah, they beat us, and was that enough?
Well, they were top, weren't they, for a bit? And everyone was like, oh, they're going to win the league, and blah, blah, blah. Same with Everton. My brother told me this, actually. This is a really interesting one, so we can laugh at how poor Everton have been for ages. This is the first time since 1987 that Everton have had two stretches of the season where they've won 4 games on the bounce. That's how bad Everton have been for the last 33 years.
Perspective is the most fascinating thing in football, because we all do this. I always reference this point about, like, when I was upset when we sold Robbie Fowler, and one of my best mates in uni was a Stockport County fan, and he was just like, shut the fuck up. Sport Stockport. Like, yeah, for Carl, we've got Carlton Palmer as our manager, and you're crying because one of your world class strikers has been sold for millions of pounds to another football team. But yeah,
I'd have been upset with Carlton Palmer as your manager.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly. Yeah. So Chelsea Villa could go either way. Chelsea could just click back in, and it wouldn't, you know. But I don't think we see Villa as, my point is, we don't see Villa as rivals. But we maybe should. I don't think they're gonna put a consistent challenge down. But on paper, they still are more than capable of it.
They're one of the biggest clubs in the league.
Yeah, 100%. One of European.
Chelsea's
clubs.
Been beaten by Arsenal as well. So
that's the point. Is that whether we think them as historical rivals, whether they think them as cliched rivals or not, they're both teams who have pretensions on. If they win their, you know, if they have a little run of, if they were three games back to back, they'll be right up alongside us because that's how compressed the league is. Everton City, I think Everton are a bit. You say about pass. I think Everton have had another little spurt, and you'll see them tail off for another month or something. But
that's what happens with children. They have growth spurts, and then they just plateau for a bit, and
sleep,
then another little
sleep a lot. Yeah. Like, yeah. United Wolves, you know, we've just seen Wolves come back and get a really good point against Tottenham Hotspur, so we know anything's possible in that. That's got another feel of, that could just easily be the United-Leicester game played out again in that regard. And Spurs-Fulham, I would expect Spurs to absolutely wipe the floor with Fulham there, and they probably will. But we've also seen that Fulham can.
But they don't attack teams, so it's, you know, that's where Tottenham's game plan
gets undone.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, this next month is fascinating. Genuinely fascinating. By the end of January, I've got no idea what the top six looks like. I just have a very strong feeling Liverpool will be on.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On top of the pile at that point. But that's,
the problem
maybe
for
that's
me is with this season, obviously, because it's so mad, it's almost irrelevant how much footy you've watched in your life.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant how much top flight English football you've watched, because I don't think any of the past matters this season, because it's just so different.
The only thing that's relevant, really, and we lose sight of this because we're a bit too close to Liverpool, is that Liverpool were so good last season that for some reason people thought that even if Liverpool dropped off this year, we were still likely to be a little bit better than everyone else because we were so much better. I think people underestimate because of the restart and because we weren't as strong after restart, and we had a couple of sticky results before footy shut down, that people somehow thought we were on the way down, whereas we're just not.
Top of the table.
Well, no, exactly. And that's the thing, is that we go into this game, you know, we're champions and we're top of the table again. Everyone else, I feel, because like Man United fans, I think they think they're in a title challenge, and they're every right to think that. But we have this every year, and we've been in this conversation before and said before, the title challenge doesn't begin until March. There's no such thing as a title challenge. You're just playing fixtures. It's just that it gets hyped up because you're on top. It's very rare that a team goes top and stays top throughout the period. We've been mad exceptions, us and City, over the last few seasons. We've broken the glass ceiling. We've elevated the league in that regard. Any notion of it is just complete fucking bullshit. It's like we were having conversations this time last year about going invincible and about winning 4 trophies and all that kind of stuff. It was fucking horseshit because it's stupid, because no point talking about that until you're in touching distance of something. it's not a thing. So yeah, it's going to be a mad. There's going to be lots of twists and turns, and Liverpool will probably drop silly points at some point. But my overriding feeling on this one is Newcastle again. The circumstances around it, I think, fits the mentality of the squad. I think it fits the fitness of the squad. I think it fits the depth of the squad better than it suits Newcastle.
Can you see any changes to the front line this game?
I know.
I know what. You said I know.
No. No. Maybe Minamino. Again, maybe you do what we did against Palace and you stick to Kubi Minamino. Let's say you rest one of the wide lads or something, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be opposed to us doing very similar to the Crystal Palace thing, but I think we'll ask the front three.
It would
to
be
go
nice,
again.
Wouldn't it, where we're in a position occasionally where if you do need to bring someone off the bench, you've got a lad who's fit and can actually impact the game of footy.
That was the thing is, look at the Palace one compared to West Brom. What's the fundamental difference in our approach in terms of substitutions? We keep Salah back. And Taki Minamino starts, and if Taki Minamino's crap, then you've got Salah to bring on. As it turns out, he's good.
So we still bring him on.
And we still bring him on. West Brom, you've got your best three lads on, and then you're asking lads who aren't up to speed, who aren't of the quality of the front three, if you need them to provide something extra, then you're relying on luck a little bit more than you should do. So there might be a case. I think it's a good point. But do you actually think they would do it?
I think they might start Minamino. I was thinking Minamino when I asked the question. Like.
Yeah.
It's difficult with Taki because he had such a good game against Palace, playing in a position that he's kind of used to, and because West Brom was so defensive, he showed against Crystal Palace he's got that technical ability, which, to be fair, I think Bobby's probably got of the close control, he can take it away from a defender, you know, go past a couple of players. Newcastle might do that same thing as well, and you just need someone to do that, unlock that little pass or that little touch or that dummy run or something. I think Taki's got that in his locker.
He's more of an unknown quantity as well, you know, it's about preparation for the game. And look, they will have the Palace game to analyse, and I'm sure they will be paying very close attention to the Palace because they'll go, but the same with West Brom, they'll be going, what can we learn from West Brom that we can apply, and what can we learn from Crystal Palace not to apply?
Steve walks into the strikers' room. None of use today, lads. Okay, yeah, we're going to go with six defenders and four midfielders and one goalkeeper. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Almiron.
Yeah, but I wonder whether there's something to the Taki Minamino thing where he just does. They'll play against Mane and Salah, and they are the better players, pardon me, but whether there is just a little bit of just upset their planning a bit, because we do it with the starting 11s all the time. Your best bet is always to go with what you perceive to be the strongest team, because more often than not, that's the team that we go for. And there is a little thing where, actually, I don't think any of us will have a problem if Minamino started this one. Rest Mane for this one. You know, let him do the one. Let him be the lad to come off the bench.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Just go with the front three, to be fair.
There's a lot to be said for the rhythm, to be fair. I mean, are you talking about that?
For the rhythm.
Lots to be said for rhythm, and having that week off is what you kind of getting at before. Of play the West Brom game, then kind of go again, get yourself back up to speed. I think we'll go for the front three with this one. And then, is there an FA Cup game coming up?
Yep.
Bit tacky.
Well, we've got. So what?
Yeah,
it is. It's an interesting one to see what we do. Yes, let us know what you think the starting 11 should be in the comment section underneath. We've got a score prediction, Chris?
Yeah. It's going to be 3-0 Liverpool.
Okay. Wow. 2-0.
Felt like I was really put on the spot there.
Yeah. 3-1.
Really surprised me. It's not like you do this every single game.
I got a feeling someone, I don't even know, I've not even checked the fitness available, but someone like St. Maximin or something will score, but so everyone can go, oh, we should be playing.
Callum Wilson as well. He's a good player.
Wilson's good. He's a good player. Andy but I feel like we should have.
No, don't let him score.
No.
No, I don't want Andy Carroll to score. He'll be injured. Hang on.
Put Andy Carroll.
England playing in the tournament this year. It's far too early for him to be back on the side.
He normally gets injured around this time to come back with four games left in the season. Yeah. Like, yeah. So.
Anyway. Oh, it's Christmas. He'll be getting leather, won't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Still, yeah, he'll definitely be out on that. He'll be asleep outside Shearer's bar at this point. You know what I mean? In his own, a puddle of his own piss. Professional Premier League football, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to come back to haunt us. Yes, let us know your score predictions in the comments below. Don't forget as well, to check out the Klopp 50 greatest moments of the year in Klopp era so far on the RedmenTV.com. And we've also got an incredible offer for you to get some discounted merch as well, which we'll follow in a moment. But gents, thank you so much. It's been absolutely wonderful. We'll be back with the live watch-along commentary on Wednesday night, so do come and check us out for that. And otherwise, we'll see you very soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.